Was it dry down there?
Man, we had to get a pick.
Pickaxe?
Yeah, to drive a hole in the ground. It's terrible. Then you water the thing, and it's dry in 10 minutes. You just soaked that water right up.
Boy, it did, didn't it?
Anyway, this was good. We went back to this place where we planted that tree and dug another hole in the ground.
Was it wet down there?
We just set the shovel on the ground and went right in.
But, well, because you had a sharp shovel.
Yeah, that's right.
But also, last day, and, you know, I know the temperature got down enough for a frost, but it really didn't do anything because I think everything was so wet.
It didn't hurt my tomatoes.
My okra didn't, or the tomatoes.
My coleus plants really got it. They're kind of thin and all that, but they sort of got it.
So we may end up a pretty normal year for a frost this time.
Exactly.
Like the first or second week of November.
Usually today is the frost day.
I thought it was in November.
No. It's around Halloween, typically. When we get
well, around.
Around. It happened in December in the past. We've had a freeze. Yeah. So, yeah, there's some time variation there. Of course, we're going through a time warp tonight, so.
Time warp?
Yeah. Apparently, we won't have any gravity.
Gigi over here, what's going to happen is there's not going to be gravity for
the double G?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The double G over?
I told him, we're not going to have gravity for about an hour tonight. So you better.
But we've got in daylight saving time.
Yep.
In this one, we fall back.
Yep. Late tonight.
It's standard time we're going into, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fall back
to standard time. Yeah. Okay. So cool. So we get to sleep.
it'll be miserable. It'll be miserable tomorrow night. Like at 5 o'clock, it'll be dark.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I've been practicing my sleeping in.
You practice it.
I slept in today till 5:30.
I slept in today too till 4:50.
You woke me up. Thank
I know.
Anyway. I don't know if I technically slept in or not. I was here on time. That's all that matters.
All right, Larry, what you got there today? What are we doing in the garden?
It's time to get that garden ready for the winter. We got some great weather coming on.
Plowed up. I got to get my breaking plow over my tractor, and I'll plow it up.
On your shrub beds, though, it's time to add some mulch.
We did that yesterday.
Two truckloads of mulch on somebody's property. And, boy, it looks nice. So after you do that, it looks really, really nice. It's time to winterize that irrigation system.
Turn off the water.
I don't know how many broken and frozen backflow preventers we have to call a plumber in to replace.
So should I turn the water off of it now?
Yeah.
I'm not going to need it.
We don't need it now. You don't need a sprinkler system now.
Okay, I'll go down there and turn it off today then.
Yeah.
While it's warm weather.
Yeah, make sure to turn off the timer though.
Well, if you shut the water off, just it won't matter.
Yes, it will. Your solenoids inside your valve are water cooled. And if they stay on, especially your master valve, if it stays on for a long period of time without water nearby, it could overheat. And then it'll burn out. It's happened more than once.
So just flip the switch to off.
Just turn it off.
I can do that. Yeah. I've already done that.
Okay, good. So make sure when you winterize your sprinkler system, make sure that the timer is turned off.
But the way to winterize is just go turn the water off at the
you turn
meter.
It off and you,
at the meter.
Well, on the new ones, though, we have above ground backflow preventers, which is this little brass thing.
I've seen them.
Above ground. Yeah. And those, the water has to be drained out of them. Now, typically at the meter installation, there's a valve and a little tiny drain valve. Or maybe a big drain valve, depending on. Anyway, it's a spring-loaded valve. This is by code, which lets the water drain back out of the backflow preventer. And you open up these little thingamajigs on the backflow preventer to let air in.
Yeah.
And then you drain that and the water comes bubbling out underground. But it's very important to get the water away from that backflow preventer. And you do that by opening up the vents.
I don't think I have a backflow preventer.
Yeah, you're a grandfathered in from old school. Back where you're putting them in, underground, a double swing check assembly, you really didn't have to winterize your system. They're 2 feet underground anyway. And nobody can reach down there to get it.
Well, what I have to do is turn the sprinklers on and go down, because I've got 2 meters, and I'm not sure which meter's which.
Yeah.
So I have to.
Well, if you turn one meter off, then you hear a bunch of hollering in the house.
That's what I'm saying. I got the wrong one.
The wrong one, yeah.
One of these days, I'm going to mark that meter.
Yeah, typically sprinklers have a larger meter than a house meter.
Anyway.
Unless, I know it's a long way to your front door, so maybe you have 2 1-inch meters. So anyway, yeah, be sure to cut off the water supply to the backflow preventer and drain it back. And we do that on our systems that we install. We do it no charge. And I've had some in the ground for 30 years. We still do it no charge. So anyway.
What else?
Let's see. Put the mower to sleep. If you haven't, I know you don't do that.
Put it to sleep?
How do you put it on
sleep? Put it to sleep, yeah.
Fucking after it?
Yeah.
We've still got some mowing to do.
Over, put a pillow under the wheel.
We've got mowing to do still, chopping leaves.
Some people do, yeah. You got chopping leaves to do. But anyway, yeah, most people with the Bermuda grass, they typically don't do anything with their lawnmower. And you can cause some issues with the condensation in the cylinder head if you don't properly winterize it. And also, you get some gumming up of the gas in the carburetor and so on. So you want to drain the gas as much as possible. No?
Whatever.
Anyway, you drain the gas as much as possible, and then go ahead and start it up and let it run until it quits. And usually that'll empty the carburetor enough to where you won't get gum deposits in it.
Okay.
And then...
change the oil before or after?
The best thing you can do is pull the spark plug out, put a little bit of oil in the cylinder, pull the rope a few times, put the spark plug back in. And that way you have a good layer of oil inside your cylinder to where you don't have this condensation causing corrosion on the cylinder walls itself.
Okay.
Okay? And that's it for the mower.
So
it's pretty simple. You can do it in 10 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. Also... that's only if you have...
Okay, we haven't done anything yet, I'm going to do.
If you have Bermuda grass, and so if you have fescue grass, no, you don't winterize your mower. You leave it running, ready to go.
If you got fescue, you get your sprayer lined up. That's what you do.
No.
That's what I'm going to do.
There are some really nice-looking fescue lawns in town.
Well, you know what I'm going to do.
I know, you're gonna give yours away.
I'm going to get the Roundup out again, and I'm going
to... go to town.
Keep going to town on that stuff.
You talked to me earlier about putting in zoysia.
Okay, I've sprayed part of my yard, the Bermuda, with Roundup.
Right.
And it is turning brown and yellow and that. And then when it dries up, I'm going to take the mower and I'm going to mow that thing down right on the...
Mow down as much as you can if you can't even get a dethatch blade. To try to expose as much of the soil as
That's
possible.
That's what I'm going to do.
And then what you can do is get some sandy soil and screed it level, perfectly level, or put a little bit of a drain into it if you can. And then
in the spring, I'm going to get that zoysia and I'm going to put it down. I'm going to see what I can do with that and see if it starts spreading through the yard. What do you think?
Sounds good. You've got nice open... sun right there that should do okay.
Yeah.
Zoysia grass doesn't have very many problems as far as bugs is concerned.
And it chokes out weeds.
It's pretty good stuff.
It'll choke out Bermuda.
We planted it in some people's yards and they just love it because it is so...
Boy, but when your mower hits it, you know you've hit zoysia.
Yeah. Well, people say, well, could I put in zoysia? I said, yeah, and you need to get an 11 horsepower lawnmower. At least.
A diesel powered mower.
Big old diesel, 21-inch, 11 horsepower mower if you can find one anywhere. Put a Chevy V8 on it. Might be able to get through it. But it's very important on your zoysia grass to keep the mower blade sharp.
Really sharp.
You have to keep it really sharp. Because it's a little stringier than Bermuda grass, and it can fray real bad. So that's most important, is keeping that blade good and sharp. And carry a spare.
Carry a spare?
Keep it sharp that way. That way it'll look nice. And most of the work on your mower blade is done on the outer just inch or two. That's where most of the cutting takes place. So you want to make sure that's good and sharp. That'll dull a lot quicker, too.
Okay.
And if the blade starts getting rounded, you know how they get all the rounded, replace it.
Just get a new one.
Get a new one. Yeah, they're not that expensive. So anyway, important things with zoysia grass, and to keep the oil change in your mower too, because it'll sure need it.
It's gonna need it.
Whoa, there you go. But anyway, that's kind of it with grass. You really don't want to fertilize your Bermuda grass at this point.
Or zoysia.
Or zoysia. You don't want to get slickered in on a winterizer. That's not really meant for warm season grasses.
No.
Because we have a bit of a problem here if we have some snow in
what do you
February.
Think, what do you think is going to happen this year?
You'll buy a good snow shovel.
You think so?
I think so.
Have you looked at the persimmons?
I haven't yet, but I haven't heard any persimmon reports. If anybody's out there have picked your persimmons, what are the seed pits
we
look like?
See,
we need to know what the seed
pits are. Is it a fork or a spoon, right?
Yeah. Spoon or a knife.
Spoon or knife.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So if it's a spoon, then I don't remember what the thing is.
I think that's for the shovel.
Oh, okay.
Makes that sense. Means we're going to be shoveling.
Okay. I hadn't seen a lot of woolly worms, though.
Now, the Farmer's Almanac said it's going to be, I think they said just slight, for our area, slightly warmer and maybe a little wetter.
Yeah. So that, to me, says it's going to be snowy.
Well, warmer mean rain.
Like, imagine if all this rain, if it was cold, how much snow we'd have.
Well, it was cold.
Yeah, it'd be 30 inches of snow.
And we were very fortunate. You go 5-6 miles west over here into the Osage, they had ice.
Yeah.
Broken limbs, all that.
Yeah, you saw the news reports from Oklahoma City.
My mother's yard in Edmonds, she said it's just like a war zone. She was without electricity for 2 days.
Huh.
So
makes it difficult to cook pancakes.
So we were fortunate. Yes. Yeah, it does. Anyway, Larry, so when can I spray my yard with Roundup and not kill the Bermuda?
As soon as it's completely dormant. I like to wait.
It's probably going to be...
After our first zinger.
Zinger.
Yeah.
Like a 23 degree.
Yeah, in the lower 20s. There's typically a lot of thatch associated with Bermuda grass. And there's going to be some green still down inside there. And you really need a good cold spell to basically make it go completely dormant. And usually I say, let's wait till December.
But then, last year when I did it, I got rid of all those pretty purple flowers in the spring.
That's right, he did.
I got rid of those.
Yeah, that was funny, the pathways of no weeds.
I know, it was strips.
It's like you wrote your name in your yard, you know, it's funny.
I didn't quite get it all in strips all, of it. But
actually, you learned that works.
It works.
Yeah, the timing is very important, and a winter application of the glyphosate.
It takes a longer time, but it did it.
It does. It'll get it. We do have warm spells in the winter, so that's when it's really actively growing.
Like above 50, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually when you can see it, that's a good time to do some controlling. Mm-hmm. That's our January, January, February. Okay. So anyway, cool. So that's kind of what they do in the yard right now. If you have Bermuda / zoysia grass, not much to do. Maybe do a final mowing to just tidy up the surface. I see people out there dethatching their yard.
Even it up.
That's a no-no.
Just even it up.
And actually, what I like to do on mine is run the mower unlevel. So the wheels are a notch lower than the one wheels on one side. And that gives you a little bit of a pattern to the grass. So I think it creates a little bit of interest in the winter.
And now... chainsaws. Can I get my chainsaw out and use it on anything?
It's the beginning of the time to do some pruning. If you have fruit trees that have been damaged, you might want to prune those. Start cutting those back now that you can see the structure of this branching and all that.
Yeah.
We did some crepe myrtles yesterday. There's some pruning up from the bottom to make them more arborescent, if you will. And they really look nice. So those crepe myrtles do have nice looking legs.
Yeah,
so
they
do.
You
want to kind of show those off a little
bit. That bark.
Yeah. Yeah. Some of the varieties, the cinnamon colored bark, really, really nice.
Yeah.
So the Tonto variety is one of those. It has a real nice pretty legs on the crepe myrtle. But anyway, so that can be done right now. Also, it's a little early. You can cut them back, but you got all winter to do that, so don't be nervous.
The other thing, my rose bushes. Can I start cutting on those yet?
Go ahead and enjoy the roses. They're flushing right now a little bit. So
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
That's right. So always on Thanksgiving Day, Garrett, I get out there on Thanksgiving Day, and everybody looks, why is he out here on that? Because Larry said Thanksgiving, do it. So I go cut my roses back on Thanksgiving.
The football game's going on the screen. The whole family is asleep, snoring away, and there you are. I got
my...
Dad,
diesel-powered hedge trimmers out there, and I just chop them off.
Diesel powered, that's right.
Big old chop them off.
Yeah, you ought to see it. How much did that weigh anyway? About 400 pounds.
Oh, gosh, that, it is
that
heavy.
Hedge clipper, yeah.
And then the Rose of Sharon, when do I cut that thing back?
Any time in winter.
Any time.
Now, you got to keep in mind, what do you want the Rose of Sharon to do?
I want to, probably I'll just kill it.
Well,
anyway, it's fine.
You'll get your wish because they are fairly short-lived. You'll probably get 15 years out of them. And then they start to kind of decline a little bit. So,
do they?
Yeah. So, but anyway, Rose of Sharon, cut them. Golly, we transplant them in the middle of the winter, anytime like that. So it's a big deal. I kind of like to trim them according to their situation. Sometimes you can trim them up to make them a specimen kind of plant, tree form, with a little trunk coming up with the stuff on the top. That kind of a thing, or a multi-trunk tree, or a columnar. You can do anything you want with these plants. They're very easy to manage. And they respond very well to discipline. So,
I got a question, Larry, because arborvitaes I've got, what do we call those?
Emerald.
Emerald. Mm-hmm. It's gotten very tall.
Right.
One of them just turned brown up and down all over on the outer sides.
Outer side. Did it happen after it got really hot?
It could have.
Yeah, sometimes if in an area, say
and
around.
And it was the one on the west, or I got three of them there.
Yeah.
And it was just, the others got just a touch of it, but not the.
Yeah. There are two things to look at. The sap in an arborvitae has a little boiling point. And if it got really, really hot, it could have cause some damage to the vascular tissue. That's one possibility. Another one is spider mites. Very, very hard to see. And that's if they're on a specific side of the tree, say on the warmer side, that could be spider mites. And thirdly, look on the trunk and look for little tiny little holes on the trunk. And if that's the case, then you might have gotten some borers. Now, you have had problems with bagworms on those. And I believe you put imidacloprid on.
I did that last March.
Yeah. The spider mite, they could be spider mites because the imidacloprid doesn't work on spider mites. It works on insects, and the spider mites are an arachnid. It's a different physiology altogether.
So what do I do with that? Nothing
if you
now?
Have a topical application of a pyrethroid would be the best thing for spider mites. Or, there's a systemic insecticide. I forget the name of it right now, but anyway, there is one you can use. You can probably get it at the ag store. I'll think of it in a minute. But anyway, there is one you can use.
But it's not going to kill them.
No.
Okay.
It'll set it back, yeah.
But they're big and beautiful now.
They're really nice. Make sure to fertilize them.
Now?
Adequately. Do it in the spring. The
Milorganite
work. Urea.
Urea? So I use urea on that.
You're not growing corn. One thing I like is the Milorganite.
That urea does some good.
Yeah, well, if you're raising wheat or corn, yeah. Maybe cotton, I don't know, but anyway. So, but on the arborvitae, you really don't want a lot of rapid growth. Because they can tend to split if they grow too quickly.
Well, I might have got four different things. I need to probably bunch them up.
Yeah, the stretch tie worked real well inside there. That green stuff we sell that tie stuff up with.
Yeah.
It's called stretch tie. It has a little give in it. And as the tree grows, it'll stretch.
So should I do that now or later?
Now's a good time. Any time is a good time.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. Just tie them up.
Yeah.
If I get it real tight.
Tie them together, right.
Real tight?
And that they'll actually kind of stay in that position.
Real tight? Pull it real tight?
The stretch tie will stretch. So
don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it, yeah.
You got that at the nursery?
Yeah.
What's it called?
Stretch tie.
Stretch tie.
Uh-huh. It's that green, tape-like stuff. It looks like tape, but it has no adhesive on it. And golly, we use that stuff by the mile at the nursery every year.
Okay.
Just take stuff up with, yeah.
I'll do that and just go up towards the top and just tie them together.
Uh-huh. And as the tree grows, it stretches with the tree. I see a lot of that in people's trees, especially anywhere from 3 to 5 years after they plant them. If they don't take off the string from around the trunk, the tree just
grows into
dies
it.
All of a sudden.
Oh.
It chokes it.
But this won't kill my arborvitaes.
It won't, no. Stretch tight stretches.
Okay. Okay.
Stretch tight stretches.
Okay.
Yeah, whereas string and...
All right, Larry, I'll let you go. We got some commercials to play. And
okay, guy.
And
well, good talking to you, Kevin.
Hopefully
good to see you. Glad
get
to have
you a call
you
or two in. See what else they've got.
Yeah. Remember, get that ground nice and flat on your zoysia. Make sure it drains. You don't want any low spots in it. So it drains away. Because you're going to get...
Or just slap it down over the top of this.
You get some rot problems if it doesn't drain. And I know you're really, really flat down there. And the elevation difference between the house and the driveway is very, very slight right there.
Yeah.
So.
My trees have done good.
Mm-hmm.
My maples, maybe I've got a few maples left that didn't get whacked, but they really were pretty this year.
Good fall color. Right?
Beautiful right now.
Mine are finally starting
And my Chinese pistache, just one little side changed. The rest of it's green still.
It's kind of two-faced, isn't it? Yeah,
it is.
Really. So it probably a little bit of stress in it somewhere.
Anyway, all right, let's get some calls in here, Larry.
Okay.
All right. Back with the Green Country Gardener.
Hello, this is Tim from United Rentals. Want you to know we have any rental need that you could possibly have at a competitive rate with excellent service. So if you have a project coming up on the weekend that you need a boom for, you need a water pump, a trencher, a mini excavator, we can take care of you. You pay a one-day price, you keep it the entire weekend, you're not in a rush, it's a great deal. Come see us, give us a chance to take care of you. You can give us a call at United Rentals, 918-333-9333. 9580.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
It's all treats in October when you shop Roman Chevrolet Buick, your Silverado City headquarters in Independence. Save more than $8,000 on a new 2020 Chevy Silverado 1500 with crew cab, short box, four-wheel drive, all-star edition. Looking for pre-owned? Roman's has a 2015 Chevy Silverado 1500 LS with low miles for only $22,404. Visit Silverado City, Roman Chevrolet Buick at 2313 West Main in Independence.
Listening to the radio, driving in your car. Radio gets results.
I'm Shelley Goolsby with Jericho Tile and Carpet and Stone Outfitters. We think radio is a great way of advertising. If you want superb results, you should use radio too. Radio gets results.
Radio gets results.
Radio.
Radio gets results. That's radio.
Kiss me, baby.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener on this Saturday morning. Numbers to call if you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936.
Yeah, we talked about your lawn and winterizing the mower, et cetera, et cetera, and what's going on at Kevin's house.
Yeah.
A lot. Anyway, at the nursery this week, we have a great-looking color on our maple trees.
All right.
And the pistachios are showing some excellent color. We had some people just drive through. They wanted to see some fall color.
Mm-hmm.
So, get a tour bus, you know. Right. There's not much fall color out there right now, but we've got it at the nursery.
It's always a great time for some fall color.
So anyway, so we've got a good selection of that on maple. The Freeman Eye maples are really coloring up nicely. Those are the Autumn Flame, the Autumn Blaze maples are really showing some good color. And the red maples, October Glory, Red Sunset, Red Spire, they're all showing up real nice right now. So you might consider And if you want some good fall color, you can see it live and in person, what it can look like. So we have some of those. Awesome. And we'll gladly deliver them at no charge, or if you really don't feel like digging a hole, we can do that too.
And of course, if people want to drop by the nursery, where can they find you?
Over there on the Water Road, south side of the road. Been there for 40 years. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on in trees. Also, we've got a great selection of houseplants, some cactus, succulents. Okay. A lot of people are going for succulents in the house because they're basically a no-care plant if you forget to water. And they're kind of cool looking. All different leaf physiologies and so on. So we got a good selection of those. Pansies, golly, you can't beat the pansy selection. It's just a big sea of color out there right now. It's beautiful.
Right.
And you might consider getting some of that. Now that the ground is loose enough, you can work it after the rain. Any color available, as long as it's yellow and purple and blue.
Right.
And pink and so on. So those are out there. And don't forget the flowering kale, flowering cabbage. They do exhibit some really, really good color. I like to use these in groups, say by the front door or something. It's a great color pretty much all winter long. If it gets really dry, though, you want to water those things in because they don't tolerate drought too well. But other than that, they're really nice. And we sell a lot of them. People plant them by their front doors, and they're selling pretty good this year. So there's kind of a growing awareness of this particular plant. It's edible, too.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh. But anyway. So that's kind of what's going on at the nursery. Oh, we have a few burning bush too. The burning bush are finally starting to turn color. So, and mine at home, I've got some that's got little seeds on it. The birds absolutely love the seeds from the burning bush. They had a little bit of a pulp around them, and they kind of enjoyed that. So we've got lots of birds happening in the backyard right now.
That's cool.
And the deciduous holly is exhibiting some red berries on it. As are the Yaupon hollies, and the Nelly R. Stevens are starting to show some color too, and the holly plants too. So if you want some of that, there's a different sized holly for different situations. For instance, you want a big tall screen and you got a lot of room, you might consider Nelly R. Stevens holly. But you don't want to plant it close to the house because they get pretty big. Mm-hmm. So, and the Foster holly is kind of another one too. You want it away from the house a little bit too. They tend to grow a little more narrow and upright, so they're not as bad as an LER Stevens as far as getting wide is concerned. There's also the willow leaf holly, which is a smaller growing holly. It's 8 feet tall or so. And you can plant those fairly close to the house, too. Keep in mind, though, these hollies, when you're picking them out, look at the tag and see how big and tall it gets. And take that number, and that's about how far away from the house it should be.
Gotcha. That's an interesting fact.
So it doesn't eat the house.
Yeah, we definitely don't want to do that.
Either that or you buy you some diesel-powered pruning shears.
So what caused this? I planted too close to the house, you know? It's my fault.
Yeah. So anyway, that's kind of what's going on. Lots of color at the nursery. Anyway, the pansy or pansy violets are a large group of hybrid plants. They are cultivated typically as garden flowers. Pansies are derived from viola species. A big wooden bass-sounding instrument called viola.
Mm-hmm.
And viola tricolores hybridized with other viola species to create the pansy. And over time, they have developed these big ones in early experimental crosses using the common bicolor Johnny Jump-Ups. That's where it all started. I have Johnny Jump-Ups growing wild at my house everywhere. Okay. They just come up all over the place. But
they
anyway.
They jump up at you?
Yeah, they do. Or the Pied Pipers. Or viola tricolor. It's a pretty weed of English grain fields and hedgerows. Modern garden pansies has had its origin at this plant. And right about 1813, they started messing around with this and came up with all kinds of different colors. And now they've developed all these different colored and shaped pansies. We had the faceless pansies and the ones with the faces on them. Mm-hmm. And so on. So the faceless pansies give a lot of brilliant color. Of the same color. So off in a distance, maybe a group of yellow ones or something would really pop out in the landscape. Whereas the face ones have a little different colors in them. Use those maybe close up, as with the violas. So anyway,
interesting.
It's a cool season plant, pansies are. Now that it's getting cooler also, you might want to consider getting some blood meal with your pansies. Blood meal is a good source of readily available nitrogen. Mm-hmm. It really helps them pop out and gives you some really brilliant colors with this stuff. And I say cool because you can burn them very easily if it gets warm. from the blood meal. It's a very hot source of nitrogen, too, when the temperature's up. So it's an organic way to apply some nitrogen. It's kind of long-lasting, too. It does also help keep the rabbits away. They don't like the smell of it, so it keeps them away from it. So
pesky rabbits.
Oh, you waskily wabbits. They'll turn your pansy field into just stubble in no time. So
it's wabbit season, right?
Yeah, it's wabbit season, and they're out looking for some chow, so they might eat up your pansies, so the blood meal helps keep them away.
Awesome.
Anyway, the name pansy is derived from the French word meaning pensée, or meaning thought. And it's so named because the flower resembles a human face.
Hmm.
So pretty cool plants.
That's pretty cool.
They have, I have one customer whose pansies actually survived this last summer.
Right.
On the east side of the house, west side of the house, really. But it's shielded from the hot sun with some trees. And it rarely does it happen, but it can happen. So, but usually they give their color basically all winter long and into the spring. When it gets hot, they kind of fizzle out. So when you plant your pansies from a compositional standpoint, you might want to leave room in between, perhaps do clumps and groups of pansies. Mm-hmm. A little blank space doesn't hurt in the garden. You can have some. It's okay. Positive and negative space is just fine. And then in the spring, you'll have room in between the pansies to plant some annuals, say some periwinkles or something that might spread out over them and take them over slowly as they kind of fizzle out in the heat. So
socially distance your plants.
I guess you could do that. It's very important that the soil be fairly loose. If you look at the root system of a pansy, it's very, very fibrous. They don't have a very aggressive root system, so they really need... That was funny.
Yeah, I know. I can't.
You need a really good loose soil for the pansies to grow in. They like a neutral pH soil, but they will tolerate some variation in it. And they're not really heavy feeders or fertilizers. They don't grow very fast. So that's why the blood meal is good. It's readily available, but it lasts a long time. Mm-hmm. So you might use some morganite if you want to use that instead. It also helps keep the critters away.
Okay.
And that gives them some good vitamins, if you will, all through the winter.
Okay.
So anyway, pansies, just plant a few of them here and there. It gives you some color, some sparkle in the winter. It looks nice.
All right, we're talking with Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb on the Green Country Gardener program. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We'll take some of your calls, too.
Building healthy relationships is often a difficult, lifelong process, but you can find health and hope in just 1 minute. Focus on the Family Minute is sound marriage, parenting, and personal growth advice from today's leading experts, plus encouragement and insight from your favorite authors and Christian personalities. Focus on the Family Minute. It could change your day, your perspective, maybe even your life.
Brought to you by Grace Community Church, weekday mornings at 740 on 1400 K1.
Peter's True Value wants to remind you it's time for fall lawn care. Reseed your lawn now with Phil's Mix. Phil's Mix is a blend of 10 different varieties of fescue grass that grows in the sun and even in the shade. Start reseeding your lawn today with Phil's Mix. Only available at Peter's True Value in Dewey. Stop in today for all your lawn and garden needs at Peter's True Value, 1865 North Osage and Highway 75 in Dewey. Open Monday through Friday, 8 till 7, Saturday, 8 till 5, closed Sunday. Peter's True Value. Behind every project is a true value.
Storm alert. Everybody has to be prepared.
When the skies become threatening and severe weather strikes, K1 provides complete coverage. Bartlesville Radio gives up-to-the-minute weather condition using radar and live on-the-scene reports from the Washington County Emergency Management Team. Our trained weather spotters, along with the meteorologists from KOTV News on 6, are dedicated to keeping your family safe. Keep a battery-operated radio close, and when severe weather strikes, go to a safe place and tune in to K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3 for immediate coverage.
Brought to you by
Patriot Chevrolet,
Bartlesville Collision Center,
Paul's Wrecker Service,
Jericho Tile and Carpet,
ConocoPhillips,
United Rentals,
Green Country Restoration,
Phillips 66,
Randy Lawrence Lawn Care and Maintenance,
Stump Funeral Home,
and A-Best Roofing.
Your safety is our top concern at K1 AM 1400 FM 93.3.
I And welcome back to the Green Country Gardener program on your radio on this Saturday morning. Numbers to call if you have any gardening questions for Larry Glass are 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Now, Larry, we talked about the lawn and what you need to do in the lawn just a little bit, but what needs to happen now? What else can you add to
well,
that?
Well, a lot of people are asking, should I fertilize my lawn? And yes, fescue lawns need to be fertilized right now. The zoysia and Bermuda grass, no, I wouldn't do that right now. You're just kind of wasting your money. So so leave the Bermuda grass and zoysia alone and do your fertilizer and your zoysia lawn and use something with some iron in it to give you a good deep color on it. So kind of it with that. And weeds in the yard. We have a caller?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we'll put them on.
Good morning, caller. How can we help you?
Hi there. I have a question for Larry. I live up around Caulfield, east of Caulfield area, and I built a raised strawberry bed.
Yes.
About 3 feet off the ground, you know, like 4x6. How do I go about to winterize this for the winter and without losing my plants?
A whole lot of straw will help a lot.
A lot of straw?
Yeah,
even
really...
the freezing temperature leaving them out won't dry it out and kill the plants?
It shouldn't really. Yeah,
okay.
you want to put as much as you can and still see a little bit of the plants, maybe. But you do want to
see the plants. Okay.
Yeah, they need to be insulated from the cold.
Now, the runners that are hanging down now, do I just go ahead and cut them off or just leave them in there?
I'd go ahead and leave them on there and make that decision depending on the winter.
Okay.
Yeah.
And when should I start this mulching process? Now or wait till it gets colder?
As the weather gets colder in the fall, yes.
And I may have asked you this before, do I still water them during the winter or not?
Yes, definitely. They're not a drought. They don't tolerate drought very well.
Okay, keep them watered during the winter?
Keep watered, yep. And what you want to do is keep your crowns alive. And that's what the mulch does. The crown is basically the heart of the plant. And you can lose some of the peripherals, some of the runners. It won't be the end of the world. But if that crown is still alive, it'll grow very quickly in the spring.
And I was told one time to cut the runners off because they take away from that crown.
They can. If it gets really cold, I don't know that it'll take away. If they have green leaves on them, they're actually contributing.
Yeah, they do.
You want a reasonable number of crowns of runners on there, if you will, so you can, so that the group can spread, if you will.
Okay. All right, sounds great. Thank you.
All right, thanks for calling.
Enjoy the show.
Oh, appreciate it. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Strawberries. They do pretty well. Our weather is so variable, though. It gets really, really hot. And then the week later, it's rainy and cold.
Right.
It makes it a bit of a challenge. I remember one time I went to a convention in Anaheim, and there were big strawberry beds out there. And I said, in California, what? Well, it's cool at night.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why they do real well. So
interesting. Well, Larry, I think we should take another break, and we'll be right back with the show, and then we can talk more about lawn care.
Very good.
Fall has arrived at Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses. Garden mums, pansies, and flowering kale are in stock and ready to bring color to your flower beds. Plus, Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses has new shipments of tropical foliage plants, trees, and shrubs. Now's a great time to plant fescue, grass seed, and Green Thumb has a great selection of five-star fescue seed ready to sow. Come see what's new and get your mums and pansies from Bartlesville's largest selection of quality plants. Open 7 days a week. Green Thumb Nursery and Greenhouses.
What if the music stopped? If the familiar voices were silenced? If there were no breaking news updates? What if your companion and connection to your community came with a monthly fee? Don't worry, we're free local radio with you wherever you go. Celebrating 100 years and looking forward to the next 100. We are broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and let Congress know you depend on your local TV and radio stations. This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
You've heard it said, I saw it on the radio.
Well, that's true.
But now the radio can be your computer,
your smartphone,
tablet,
or any internet-connected device.
Go to BartlesvilleRadio.com and click on the Listen Now button in the upper right-hand corner.
And you won't miss a minute of news, sports,
or entertainment.
You can take us with you anywhere in the world.
We're AM 1400, FM 93.3, K1, the one you trust, and your constant online companion.
How many times have you asked yourself, what's the forecast for tomorrow? Just call the Weatherline Forecast Service, 918-336-2900, and find out. You get the forecast, plus the time and temperature from the studios of News Talk 1400 K1. The Weatherline is brought to you by Oklahoma Wesleyan University. We update the Weatherline as our forecast changes, so you're always up to date. Put that number in your phone and call 918-336-2900.
Put a spell on you.
Because you're mine. Happy Halloween. You're listening to the Green Country Gardener program on this Saturday morning. Hopefully things are going well for you so far. Again, if you have any questions for Larry Glass, the man with the emerald thumb, give us a call, 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936. Larry, it's a Halloween.
Halloween. Ooh. I'm sure even with all this virus stuff, there's going to be some kids out there trick-or-treating. Mm-hmm. And just make sure the hoses are all rolled up out of the way and there's no twigs or anything in the yard somebody can trip on. Mm-hmm. Just so you don't have to use your liability insurance.
Fair enough.
Yeah, really.
Pesky kids.
And try to get it well lit.
Right.
And I know in my house, I've got low-volt lights everywhere, so you can see very clearly what's going on outside. And there's a street light there, too. Actually, when I moved in, it wasn't lit up. It was out. It was so dark. I got to do something about this. And I put all these lights around, then the street light turned. Oh, well.
Yeah, I mean, it never hurts to have a little extra light.
But make sure that the step on the front porch can be seen and all that, so we don't have any troubles with the children.
Yeah, you don't really want any crying children on Halloween.
Really don't, no. Nice. They want to have fun out there, and you want to make it as safe as possible.
Well, I've got to go back to my house and reevaluate everything.
Yeah, and also, if you and I've come to people's houses, their hoses are still hooked up to the wall. Yeah, this time of year when you want to make sure that they're all disconnected.
Right.
Because that can, if it gets really, really, it could get cold just all of a sudden.
Monday, Tuesday?
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Next week?
Oh, this past Monday, Tuesday.
It wasn't cold enough to really cause any problems. But still, if we have some consistent cold weather. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you tend to forget about the hose on the wall. And I know we do landscape work for people, and I go to their house, and the hose is on the faucet. Come on, people. And we always make sure they're disconnected. Mm-hmm. When we leave this time of the year.
Oh, so. That's a fair point, yeah.
So anyway. The valve's on the wall. Typically, the valve is inside the house. It's okay. A faucet coming out, and it has this real long stem, and it's inside between the wall of the house.
Hmm.
And that's how you have a frost-free faucet in the house, is that the actual valve is way inside the house rather than out here.
Right.
So if you have a hose on there, there's water in that jacket around the stem going to the valve into the house. And this happened to me. We moved into the house we are now. We didn't have those in our other house, but I left it on this one, and it froze that. So
yeah,
a little quick trip to the hardware store and buy a new valve. But anyway,
lessons learned.
Yeah, lesson learned. It hadn't happened since. So so make sure the hoses are disconnected. Anyway, in the lawn, we were talking about that. Fescue lawns can be fertilized right now. Leave the Bermuda grass alone. Pre-emergent, that seems like a big mystery to some people, is when do I put down pre-emergent herbicides? Well, you just about missed the boat on that for your winter weeds on pre-emergent. They're up and running right now. So you'll have to rely basically on either Roundup or some broadleaf weed control during a warm spell in the winter.
Gotcha.
Either that or as they emerge in the spring when it gets warm enough, you can zing them with a broadleaf. These are dandelions and henbit and chickweed and so on. They can be sprayed a little bit later on after they come up. So you're a little late to be proactive on that.
Right.
So if you didn't, oh, well, they'll come up. So what?
So what indeed.
Yeah, you just don't winterize the mower.
Yeah, just don't. Put it to sleep, like you said earlier.
Really? Okay, so anyway, and the tree of the week, of course, this week is the water oak. I like this tree because it's kind of a semi-evergreen, and it has a very small leaf. So I just kind of blow the leaves off the patio and into the beds, and it becomes a mulch. It has a very small acorn. And if you talk to anybody from down south, Louisiana or Florida, they scorn this tree because it grows so fast down there. It's kind of weak-wooded. But up here, it's a little different story. The water oak, because it does grow slower up here. After we had all the wind and even some ice storms, I don't see any that had any damage.
Pretty impressive.
So they're pretty sturdy trees here, really.
Right.
They have a fairly deep root system. The only drawback with them is they don't lose all the leaves at one time, and they kind of drop off throughout the winter. But they're semi-evergreen, so if we do have a mild winter, they still have leaves on them. But scale is another problem we have. It's a scale insect. Mm-hmm. And previously it's been difficult to control them, but now with the systemic imidacloprid, it works very well to get the scale under control and let the tree be good and healthy.
Right.
So anyway, water oak, keep it 30 feet away from the house, 15 to 30 feet away from the house. Its root system is deep, so we don't really have a problem with these knuckles sticking up in the ground from the water oak. It grows fairly quickly also, mm-hmm. and the wind we have and the dryness tends to temper the growth a bit, so it doesn't get so aggressively growing as it does in other parts of the country. So it's a good tree right here.
That's pretty awesome.
Okay.
And Larry, I think we might take our final break
and
we'll
come
back.
All right.
In 1939, James Farley, the former chairman of the Democratic National Committee and Franklin Roosevelt's Postmaster General, traveled to Bartlesville, Oklahoma to meet with Frank Phillips. This was a special meeting, and for Frank, a bit different. As Farley did not come to visit about oil or banking, he had another purpose. He came to Bartlesville to try to convince Mr. Phillips to buy the New York Yankees baseball team. The former owner had died in 1939, and Farley and others felt that Frank had the resources necessary to buy the ball club. Already a wonderful dynasty with such greats as Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig leading the way, the Yankees were known worldwide and would certainly provide great personal and professional exposure to Frank and to Phillips Petroleum. After much consideration, Frank decided not to buy the Yankees, and despite their continued success, he never regretted that decision. As he told his friends, "I just couldn't buy them. I've always been a National League man." Come enjoy the magic of Willow Rock. And welcome home to Willow Rock.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
When I grow up, I want to be a glass countertop in a new home.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's best birthday present.
When I grow up, I want to be a football stadium.
When I grow up, I want to be a warm fleece on a cold day.
When I grow up, I want to be a fancy backsplash.
I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
I want to be a rocking chair on a sunny skyscraper.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. A public service advertisement brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Green Country Gardener Program. Have just a couple more minutes left in the show. Larry, what else should people know about gardening?
Well, golly, a little while ago I just talked about the burning bush for a minute. And the burning bush, or Euonymus elata, is kind of a well-behaved, somewhat large shrub with really good fall color. They're really starting to turn color right now. Probably among the few things changing color this fall. Really, you look out the window, it's kind of brown, you know.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. There are some parts of town where there's some good color. It grows in sun to shade and in well-drained soil. You can use it as a specimen plant or a screen. I have them used both ways at my house, as a grouping, as a specimen, and as a screen, and they're doing quite well.
Okay.
And the plant, the compact variety, is closer to the house. Compact meaning it grows, it doesn't grow any shorter, it just grows more dense. Mm-hmm. So you do have to clip them back. I have some out by the fence that after the leaves fall off in the fall, I cut them back rather far, and they bush out and they have fresh foliage on them in the spring, and they're really nice there. So anyway, so you can do anything with these plants. I mean, I've had them there for about 10 years, and they're only hip high. So Yeah, I'm getting these messages.
Yeah, somebody's wanting you, man.
Yeah, I know. I just a small town doctor. That thing goes off in the middle of the night, too. Larry, what do I do about my dandelions? So, anyway. So, I like to use it. I like to use it in several situations. Put my hat on it. Maybe it'll quiet it down. Oh, golly. Anyway, it likes to be mulch. It does not like drought. Okay. It looks real nice even in the shade. It makes a good color. There's some really nice ones in Woodland Park growing in full shade. And they're pretty easy to grow and easy to plant. And be sure when you plant them to keep that shovel good and sharp. We will see you next week.
Thank you, Larry. That was the Green Country Gardener program. Coming up next is CBS News and Local News.
Are you getting married? Get the gift of